So I think it's fair to say that things are tough out there right now. I mean, we've got unprecedented volume, and that's a really good thing. But frankly, CRAs are being stretched at this point. The one thing that we wanted to talk about today is that SJV has experience in operations and in seeing through how to work through a backlog, how to work through high volume. We've hired extensively to meet demand, and our tech and our product are really key in the way that we use them for CRAs. So what we wanted to do is, of course, you know, there's always the use SJV kind of message that we want to get across. But even if you don't use SJV, we wanted to offer up some tips on making your operations as efficient as possible. Hey, everybody, this is Nick Fishman bringing to you the SJV Data Solutions podcast. I'm joined here today by our founder and CEO, Scott Vanek. We've also got our Chief Operating Officer, Bill Wilder. And last but certainly not least, the most electrifying man in background screening, Vince Bro. Thanks for joining me today, guys.
Hey, thanks, Nick, for arranging this today.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, in full disclosure, we kind of put this one together last minute because we're noticing a significant trend right now in the industry. We've been getting a lot of calls from clients on it, and thought it would be a good point for us to kind of talk about what's going on and also offer support for how our CRA's clients can deal with it. And that is the unprecedented verification volume right now. It's basically forcing CRAs to be creative in order to meet turnaround time expectations. The whole thing has been really a blessing and a curse. And Scott, I thought maybe I could turn it over to you to talk about, you know, where the blessing is coming from and how that's working.
Yeah, you're right. We obviously have seen this surge. It started several months ago, but it has really accelerated over the past month or so because of some phone calls too that we've received from customers who I had identified 2-3 years ago when we had started to build this product line, that they would not allow, you know, any sort of domestic opportunity to help them fulfill their verifications work. They wanted to control it internally, and now they're calling us and pleading for help. So the surge has been really fun to react to, but it does come with a lot of challenges, which we'll get into shortly here. I think, you know, obviously from a market standpoint, there was obviously a backlog of work, but job churn now is starting to create some of this, at least as when we talk to some of our bigger users. That's what they're communicating to us. And so it's a reaction plan. You know, we're trying to react to this massive surge that is up a couple 100% from where we would normally be operating with this product line. So I thought it would be a great idea to talk about it. I think we are, from a domestic standpoint, we are the best option in the supply chain. We have one of the leading experts in the industry in Bill Wilder. I'm not too sure there is anybody else actually who knows it better than he does. And we've taken the last 3 or 4 years to really build out a phenomenal system, but it has its challenges right now. And I know those are some of the things that we want to be transparent with and communicate to our customer base so they can appreciate kind of where we're going with this. So that's probably the best way for me to start this thing out.
Yeah. So, you know, the blessing is the volume. So Vince, what's the curse?
The curse is always going to be customer satisfaction for turnaround times and consistency, verification rate, you know, the things that lead to success with this type of service. I mean, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't have a phone call with some CRA in the marketplace, or even tenant screeners too, who do this from a resident landlord verification perspective. And they say almost embarrassingly, you're like, "Oh, Vince, I've got a backlog over here. I'm sitting on a backlog. I hate to admit it." And the first thing I always tell them is, don't be embarrassed. Everybody does right now. Everybody's backed up. And I've heard numbers that range from, you know, 2,000, 3,000 that we haven't been able to make a first call attempt on. I've heard numbers all the way as high as 30,000 or 40,000 individual verifications, not like, you know, components equal one. I mean, this is really serious. So people are looking for a pressure valve. They're looking for a place to put this, and there just isn't some secret hidden grove that has, you know, an extra 20,000 units of bandwidth and capability per day. There are a lot of strategies you can employ with respect to how you're going about ordering your verifications or fulfilling them. And there's things that a provider like us can do with, you know, thank goodness Bill's expertise, things you can do in response to this. And I think that's the big thing that I tell all the clients is that clearly no one was able to plan for this type of rebound or recovery. So everyone is in reactive mode, and it's how well you handle that reactive response is what's going to win the day. Nobody's got great capacity. Nobody's got some foolproof plan. We believe, based on our last 4 or 5 years of offering this product, that we've got a way through to light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. It's hey, Nick, too, it's an almost, you hate to say this, but I told you so kind of thing. Like, we've been, you know, we've been talking to our customers over the last 3 years, telling them that to have an outlet, have somebody ready, have a partnership on standby. And so most of the things we're seeing now are completely reactive, and it's a tough way to run a business. And so it's not a sales pitch. It's just the reality that, you know, moving forward, everybody that's suffering from this now needs to start to think through the long-term implications that this has created for them, and don't allow it to happen. Work with groups like ours who can help lead them when things like this occur, but you've got to have that pipe open, right? Yeah. The system's got to be open somehow, where there's at least some work coming to us. You can't just all of a sudden say, hey, we want you to go hire 50 people and we've got, you know, 1,000 orders a day we need to send you. It just doesn't happen that quickly. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I've been through the situation many times. And you know, when you get stuck, there's no easy solution as to how to get unstuck.
Because we're here to help the tier two and the tier three consumer reporting agencies. That's the majority of our customer base that we're really trying to help them compete against some of the bigger guys who have the stuff offshore, and they have a 1,000 person call center somewhere. We're positioning this to try to help them get through these times. And so that's the sales pitch, is long-term, use a group, align with a group like us, partner with a group like ours. So.
Yeah. The hard part, guys, in this space is you can't OT your way out of this. You can't overtime your way out of it. You can do that in a lot of places in background screening, especially if you're using websites to get the information. But when you're relying on calling an HR professional or a registrar at a school, you're dependent on them being at their desk. And unfortunately, that's a limited number of hours per day. It just is.
Sure. When you think about it, this is really like a perfect storm, because you think about, what did a lot of CRAs do during the pandemic time when it came to their research staff? They unfortunately laid a lot of people off. And are not so willing to hire back until they know that this is going to be a sustained volume, or they've just made a commitment to outsourcing altogether.
It's also a chance for informed data. This is where this concept that we're building out in this this new business model will also allow things like this, any of these backlogs, to be reduced if we could get enough participants on the platform. So we'll talk about that later, maybe, or not, or you're going to see some stuff that you're going to market here pretty soon, but I thought I'd just bring that up.
Nick, the one thing I talked to a large CRA today on the West Coast about, and they said, look, we are calling people back, we are trying to recruit, but the rate of recovery is simply so much faster than our rate of recruitment success. If there is a commitment to bringing people back, the work isn't waiting for us to all have staffs ready to go and deployed.
Yeah. And here's a little something I think, Vince, you know, that and echo that. I mean, we at SJV, we've hired 319 people. I looked today, 319 people since January 1st. And we can onboard a new worker in 2 business days. They can hit the production floor in 2 days. It's the fastest of anybody in the industry. And that, I mean, I think we're the best at it, but the reality is even that is not keeping up with the demand. And so if you're a CRA that takes 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks to get a productive employee, I mean, I can't imagine the nightmare that you're facing right now.
Look, and that's normal. I mean,
that's a normal number.
CRA days, that is a normal number. The fact that you have been able to develop this methodology where you can get somebody hired and have them productive
as quickly as you can is really incredible. So let's bring it back a little bit. We were talking about the perfect storm, and the perfect storm, of course, we started with, okay, people have been laid off. Bill, tell us why everything's skyrocketing now.
Well, it's a combination of factors, and it is a perfect storm. On the one hand, you have the economy rebounding. You have a lot of businesses starting to open. You have people wanting to hire. At the same time, and I think many of the people on this podcast will understand that it is the quit rate that really drives this industry, right? The propensity of people to quit a current job, take another job. And that is starting to escalate at unprecedented levels. And so you got all this demand happening. Then at the same time, you got, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of people laid off their verification staff. They're struggling to get people back. They also are suffering from people quitting their organization and taking other jobs. And so you kind of have this perfect storm where you have this massive demand, but you're having a hard time creating capacity within organizations. And so everyone is struggling to figure out how to get it done. And it's not just on our side of the phone call. You get on the other side of the phone call, some of these businesses are just getting bombarded with so many verification calls right now that, frankly, they are not even returning calls. And everybody's got to remember the people on the other side of that call, they don't not only get verification calls for employment, they get it for a new credit card or a new car loan or a new apartment, a new house. I mean, so you think about, you're an HR professional, you're getting slammed with phone calls right now because everybody's on a spending spree. So both sides of that phone call is really taxed right now.
Yep.
Good point.
And Bill, you mentioned that you've hired, 309 people so far this year? Is that what you said?
319 as of this morning.
Okay. So that's an interesting number. I also want you to tell the story about volume. You had mentioned the other day about how quickly this business is multiplying.
Oh,
talk
yeah.
A little bit about that and how we've handled that capacity.
Yeah. So, I mean, our volume is more than doubled in the last 60 to 90 days. We build capacity of about 500 units a day every week, and that still isn't keeping up with the increases. It literally looks like, you know, the space shuttle taking off. And that being said, I mean, and Vince could talk about this, we have a waiting list of tens of thousands of verifications just waiting for capacity. They're waiting for our people to get hired. And probably the unique phenomenon in all of this is, you know, we're getting really good at the hiring. We're actually struggling to get PCs now. Our IT department had to drive around the local area they cleared out all the micro centers in the local Atlanta area of PCs. And so these challenges are very real challenges in the verification space that make it tough. But yeah. Again, I think eventually it'll level out. I think it does speak to why you want to use capabilities, more professional call center-like capabilities, because you can take advantage of tool sets, you can take advantage of methodologies, you can take advantage of, and I'll get into some techniques that the CRAs can do themselves. But that all comes out of our knowledge and our analysis of this product line.
Yeah. And Bill, do you think that this is here to stay? And Vince, I know you're talking with customers all the time. Is this something that you see that volume on verifications is here to stay? I'll just repeat myself. Or is this a moment in time where things are just crazy right now?
Do you mean in terms of people's willingness to outsource the solution outside of their own business, or you mean the levels of volume?
No, just from like a macro, like a macroeconomic.
Yeah, you want to talk to both?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I can speak from the client perspective. People are saying, we want to give this to you and we don't want to take it back. We want you to do such a good job and alleviate this problem on a permanent basis. COVID-19 was a fundamental disruption and change in the way people look at their lives, their businesses, all sorts of things. And people are now saying, look, I don't think I can get this staff, this labor back on my P&L. And if growth takes off, I'd love to have a controlled margin on this product line. Please let me outsource this incomplete. And that's what we're seeing more and more of right now. It's not just the overall volume is up. People are literally saying, I don't need this in my shop anymore.
Yeah, I would echo that. You know, the pricing that exists in our industry for this product line means to be profitable, the most you can really realistically pay an employee is $12, $13-ish, $14. I mean, you really can't go much higher than that because there's a physical limit to productivity. And I think what folks are finding out is without the kind of investment in tools and technology that we've made, it's going to be very difficult to hit the efficiency numbers, especially with wages continuing to rise. I mean, you know, God's sake, we're literally competing for employees against Target and Costco and some of these other places are paying $15-18 an hour. And so I do think the outsourcing is here to stay. I think the surge will level whenever the great resignation period starts to wind down, but I don't know if that's a year away, 2 years away.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
If you plot out this industry and just listen to what you guys just said, like 2020 to 2021 is the year that verifications jumped the shark for CRAs. It's like they finally had it.
You got to think too, like just like up from an office space standpoint, system limitations, like, you know, companies downsized, right? And then again, attracting that for us, let's look at our Phoenix office that doesn't exist anymore. Because if we had that mentality that we had 150 people at one time in Phoenix, because that's how we were recruiting, we wouldn't been able to hire the 319 people we have today if we were still doing it that way. So now we go and we recruit on a national level because we have the tools and the systems to be able to do that. Well, most of our customers, one, do they want to do that? Just think about that for a second. Like, right? Is that really where you want to be spending your energy on being able to do that? My answer as being an entrepreneur for 20 some years is no. And, you know, rely on other sources like ours to do that for you.
Yep. And
one thing we see that I heard yesterday was they're like, look, we did staff back up. We did recall all of our people, but they're all remote now and they don't have access to the same phone system. They don't have the same capabilities at home. We can't control their productivity levels as they're calling. So even with that staffing, now that everyone is working or, you know, probably remote for a while, even that has fundamentally changed the control that CRAs had over this product line and how proficient and productive it was. So we're even seeing some folks saying, yeah, we have people, but we just can't manage it the same way we did in a pre-COVID inner office way. So totally changed.
We made some decisions based on data that Bill had provided to us, you know, pre-COVID that said, hey, we need to move this to more of a remote thing, right? That's when we started the military spousal program, things like that. And so we were in a position when this happened that it didn't really affect us as much as perhaps it affected some of our customers or some of our competitors. So there was some good timing and some good decisions that were made along that too.
Yep. So, you know, Bill, there are short-term and long-term things that CRAs can do to correct this problem. There's certainly short and long-term things that we can do to correct the problem. What are some of the things in your experience that work to end the cycle?
So what I'll do is I'll walk through some of the recommendations we're making to individual CRAs to alter their processes with us. Most of these are going to be of a short-term nature because pretty much your program is designed to optimize some variant of UTV and turnaround time. But the things you can do right now in the short term to make things better. Number one, shift your completions that are of a non-calling nature to after hours. I know it seems obvious, but a lot of people don't think about this. You probably have people who are running, you know, third-party systems like Thomas & Company or 10th Street or whatever. Have those people go on overtime, work those at night, but put them on the calling floor during the day. That's one of the things that we do almost immediately to maximize the calling hours. Now, if you've done your homework ahead of time, you should know which times of day are the most fruitful times of day to call. So for us specifically, we have that down to a science and we do quote unquote power hours. So during those hours, we isolate away from lunches and breaks and we create incentives to maximize dials during power hours because we know that's the most fruitful time of the day to maximize the output. There's some other more mechanical things you can do. We know through our data that calls one and two in a call pattern are by far the most valuable calls. They generate the most closes. And so we prioritize calls one and two over any other call in order on a third or fourth or fifth dial. We prioritize that. We're able to do that technically speaking. Some people might have to be a little more manual, but try to make that first and second call as fast as you can. And it's okay then to delay that third call a day or 2 days or 3 days out. I would also say kill the fourth and fifth call. we know the fourth and fifth call together combined might yield an extra 4 or 5% of completion. But honestly, it's a trade of pain, folks. You know, do you want the extra turnaround time and the backlog, or do you want to take the extra UTV right now? What I would tell you is take the UTV right now. You know, explain it to your customers to get through your work, to get your people in the chair faster. We're going to kill calls 4 and 5 for right now because we know they're probably not going to yield success anyway. So I would definitely do that. For those of you who are a little more, tolerant to third-party fees, you may want to consider putting the work number at the top of your tree. Work number formed a partnership with ADP sometime back. They have a significant number of clients that even they don't know about because ADP sort of shields them from them. But if you run every order through the work number first, you're going to clear a much higher percentage quicker. The downside to that, as you all are probably already thinking through, is you're going to get way more charges from Equifax that you're going to have to pass on to your clients. So you might have to do that on a end user by end user basis. But moving that to the top of the tree, even for a short period of time, might be a good way to alleviate some pain from your clients. The last thing, which is probably a little more controversial, but I'll put it out there, is you may want to work with your end users to establish sort of a max date. You know, it used to be these reference calls would happen maybe pre-offer, but that doesn't really happen anymore. These reference calls, employment calls, education calls are usually happening post-offer. So given that, you may want to consider establishing like at 6 days, I don't care if I'm on attempt 2 or attempt 3 or wherever, just kill the order. You may want to consider doing that. So that's, and then I have one last tip for you. If you haven't done document verification before, you may want to entertain it very rapidly. What is document verification? That is reaching out to the subject to say, can you provide me a W-2, a 1099, a DD-214, or something of that nature in document form, and do that simultaneous with trying to call. Again, none of these are procedures you'd probably take in a normal day-to-day operation, but this isn't normal day-to-day right now, the world we're in. So I would encourage you, think about the things I just told you, sit down with your end users, talk about these levers, see which ones work for you, and whichever ones do, pull them, because they will make a difference in getting through your backlog.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah,
Scott, you mentioned we had a preeminent expert in verifications. Who is that? I'm not familiar with who that person is and all the incredible experience they have in some of the largest call center operations in the nation. Yeah. Bill is the person who I always credit with introducing a modern day call center into the world of background screening. It really is a huge difference.
All right.
I'll pay you later.
I've had, a handful of experiences that I was talking about communicating when things like this happen with clients. I have my own ideas I'd like to share, but I'd first like to open it up to you guys. How do you encourage CRAs to talk to their end user customers about this right now? Vince, you want to start?
Yeah, I think this may be different for a lot of people, but I always feel like transparency is the best path to take when you're talking about something that's disruptive or uncomfortable. You just got to get the cat out of the bag. You just got to face the music. If there's some sort of backlog or some sort of thing, anytime that happens at a jurisdictional level or any other level, we always try to be transparent. So for a CRA to say, all right, can we isolate this by either end user or by type by user? Is there a specific source of the pain? And speak specifically to that. Maybe don't speak in generalities. Otherwise, they may not know the context of it. I would just be very upfront and say, is there any way we, in light of this unprecedented volume and some of these market conditions and challenges with computers and staffing and great resignation, what can we do to realign and reset expectations together so that we both benefit from this and stay through this surge? I think the old ways are kind of gone. The old, it's 5 and 5 and this is the time and this is it and this is in the SLA and that's just how it is. Well, all the things behind all those former, KPIs are all completely different, gone and changed. So it's short-sighted to think they're just going to remain throughout this. They have to evolve. Just like our industry has to evolve in order to survive, so too do the expectations around these backlogs, whether it's verifications or others. That's how I would approach it with them.
Yeah. No, and I agree. Transparency is key. I think another important thing is proactivity. don't wait until the situation gets bad to start reaching out. Reaching out as soon as you see signs of trouble, right?
And I will say that is a key factor in all of operations, not just verifications. You know, have predetermined levers set up with your end users. You know, when I was at the large CRA that, you know, I won't mention, but you can find on my LinkedIn. When we were there, we had operating levers. We had green, red, yellow, et cetera. And we would sit down with clients in advance to say, look, when this situation happens, we will kick into yellow. And here are the differences that you will experience. And then if it gets really bad, here's what red looks like. And here's why we're going to do that. And they're all designed to keep the hiring flow. I mean, at the end of the day, we got to remember, we sit in the middle of a big hiring process. And the whole goal is to get that employee or that, you know, tenant or whatever the use case is, we're trying to get them to their destination. And we don't want to, you think about the holistic part of a background report, you know, whether it's criminal or drug testing or all the things that you might put into it. You certainly don't want to hold it up because the high school, you're waiting on the high school diploma to be mailed back from the high school. I mean, you got to use some logic. You got to have some levers you pull. So to your point, proactive thinking about it, but we're here now. And the reality is, you know, a lot of people may not have prepared. And so honestly, that's kind of where I go because I'm an operational guy. When I tend to sit down with end users, when I did work on the retail side, I would spend time with them talking about how do we still get the needs of the end user met, but maybe change the program for a short period of time, right? Whether that's attempts, whether that's how far back in time we do these things, whether it's using document verifications, those kinds of things. But I always got very tangible with them, not if this mythical theoretical, like, oh, it's going to get better. When here are things we can do right now to make a difference.
Yep. And Scott, there's one other thing that I can think of that I'm sure you can expand upon, and that is, who are you communicating with in the organization? I think, you know, that's one of the biggest and best things you do at SJV is, you know, you demand both internally and externally communication. So talk to me about who CRA should be reaching out to.
Well, you mean within SJV?
No, I just mean, you know, I'm basically referring to not only your day-to-day contacts, but those a little bit higher up the food chain, because you never want those folks to be surprised.
Right, right. Well, this is one way, and obviously this is why we did this. We wanted to be able to communicate to the background screening community that we are well aware of all the challenges. And to Vince's, I think Vince said early on that they're not alone in this. And so that's something that perhaps they could take a little bit of a breath and relief. But the reality of it is you know, they got to hustle and grind through this. And, you know, we're here positioning ourselves to try to help them out with it. But it does take a little bit of time. It's just not a switch you can just turn on, right? And I do think, though, that communicating it externally to every level within our customer base is more important than it's ever been. Right now, we all need to partner and work together in this more than we ever have before.
Yep. Yeah, and it all rolls downhill. The same way we need to be having conversations with our day-to-day contacts and our executive level is the same way that the CRAs ought to be approaching it with their end user clients as well.
Yes, and then Bill and I just had a call, you know, earlier in the week. I think it even trickled in from last weekend. We were having conversation with a really good customer and user of ours, and it was partnering together, and it was amazing to see how everything was going to flow and work itself out, just basing it through communication, right?
Right.
And then letting it and then execute.
Yeah. Yes, communication is definitely key. And I agree. I think where you were trying to go is, you know, you in times like this, it's often good to work up from your current communication structure, because a lot of the CRAs are probably working with tactical operational leaders. And honestly, when a situation like that, it's good to start escalating up to directors, VPs and above, because you're more likely to meet a understanding ear and a more partnering ear than maybe you are the tactician who is, you know, honestly, they have their metrics. They're trying to drive their metrics and they don't feel empowered to alter them.
Yeah. No, I agree. Look, to put a fine point on today's conversation, I would say that this is a very exciting time for our industry. Volumes are crazy, and that is only creating good things. Unfortunately, when you have crazy volume, you also have some operational challenges that are ahead. They affect everybody equally, and it's just how you work through them that will define you as an organization. So I appreciate the time today, guys. Thanks for talking through this. If anybody is interested in learning more about SJV Data Solutions, please visit us at www.sjvdata.com. And we'll talk to you later. Have a good day, everybody.
Thanks to the listeners.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Nick, and everybody else. Thanks, guys.